going to go a little fast here. These are the things that we covered. We will start from where we left off. Let me come back to the where we left. Okay, I think I went back too far out. Sorry about the setup here. By the way, we are looking into our whole system to see whether we can improve our quality as well as the setup itself. The back one is almost dying with the battery or light lamp, I think. So we will try to get it fixed, Lord willing, soon. We were primarily looking at four things we looked at is the deity of the Holy Spirit. Briefly, we looked through the scriptures. We looked at the personality of the Holy Spirit. We looked at some similes and symbols that are in the scriptures. That is where most people get confused about the similes and the symbols when they look at it, like a wind or the river or those kind of similes and symbols. People misinterpret and confusion on those subjects. So we went up briefly about those four major things that we looked at. Let me see if I can find my page here. Okay, I think we finished all that. Give me, be patient with me for a moment. We looked at symbols and all that. Okay, let's now I know where we are. We did cover quite a bit of ground last week, very quickly though, because some of these things are fairly well known to us. There is not much of a confusion in what we looked last week. Most of us will agree on the deity of the Holy Spirit. We will also agree on the personality of the Holy Spirit. One thing to remember about the Holy Spirit personality is to know that he is a person. He has power, but he is not power. He has, and similar things are there when people misinterpret, Holy Spirit is not just a power. Yes, he does have power, but he is a person. That is one thing that we should be very careful when we think about the Spirit of God, and that causes a lot of confusion among God's people in many places. Let me see, did I pass the green? I did, yeah. Okay, now, today we are going to look at the work of the Holy Spirit through the ages. That is through the ages. Through the ages, before creation, only thing that we know, the direct reference about given to us is in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, where it says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. Yeah, I think we are on the same page. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. What the Spirit of God was doing before creation, not much is given other than this verse. The Spirit of God moved upon the waters until the Lord began the day one of creation. Moving on to the Old Testament time, and even during the time when the Lord was here on this earth, his earthly life, the Spirit came upon certain individuals for the accomplishment of some specific purpose, and then he withdrew when that purpose was completed. In other words, in most of the time in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came for a purpose, he done his work, he goes right back. And he comes back to certain individuals and accomplishes his work, he goes right back. And there are some examples I have drawn here just for our understanding. First of all, we read that Spirit came on certain men. One is the Bezalel, the work of the tabernacle. We read that clearly in Exodus 31 and verse 3 and 35, verse 31. See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship. The Holy Spirit came upon this person with a very specific purpose of giving him the understanding and the knowledge and the workmanship of building the temple and how it needed to be done. So it was not by the idea of the man, but it was the Spirit of God. Then we read about Othniel in Judges chapter 3 verse 10. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he judged Israel. I'm just giving you a few highlights of examples here to see the Spirit of God came and did the work. And he was not permanently here on earth at that time. We read about Samson, chapter 3 and verse 25, and 14, chapter 19, at least two times we read, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him, meaning Samson, at Mahanaim, Dan, between Zorah and Eshtaol. He was, the spirit leading of the Spirit was upon him a number of times, and that we read about Samson. Now, going on to further, sometimes the Spirit came upon even unregenerate people and to accomplish the plan of God. Not necessarily all godly men. One is, of course, as we know, Balaam is one, and he raised his eyes and saw Israel encamped according to their tribes, and the Spirit of God came upon him in Numbers chapter 24 and verse 2. Well, going on to King Saul, we know that in 1 Samuel chapter 11 verse 6 that we read that then the Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard this news, and his anger was greatly aroused when the occasion is that when Nahash the Ammonite came against Israel. So the Spirit of God came upon these individuals at certain times to accomplish the purpose of God. Well, coming on to the New Testament, and the wicked high priest, Caiaphas, in John chapter 11, verse 49 to 52, we read, and one of them, Caiaphas, being high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all, nor do you consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and not that the whole nation should perish." Now this he did not say on his own authority, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation. It was the Spirit of God that revealed to him to prophesy that Jesus Christ is going to die on behalf of mankind. So we see that God's Spirit came upon this man. When you come to, those are some individual cases that we looked at, where the Spirit of God came, accomplished the work that he was given, God had in mind, and he went back. Now, everything changes when it comes to the New Testament. When the church age, things are drastically changing. Okay, I think I went back too far. Okay. Now, in John chapter 14, verse 16 to 17, this is a well-known passage for all of us, and this is the words of the Lord, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you for," what? Forever. The whole scenario changes when it comes to the New Testament. The Spirit of God comes, and he comes and stays forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, those who do know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, he dwells with you and be in you. I don't know if you need any explanation on that verse. It's so very clear by the Lord. At least three times he says he is here to stay with you forever. He is he will dwell with you and he will be in you. That is a very awesome thought. That is an awesome thought. This weekend, me and Sam and some others here were at the conference in North Richland Hills. Scott DeGroff was speaking. I heard one of the messages that I never heard in my life. Very simple, but very different. One thing he pointed out when he was talking about the Spirit of God is this, which I think many of us in this room are guilty of. I should say, in many cases, including myself. We are in the brethren assemblies, we have reacted to the extremism of the Holy Spirit, which exists in this world. I know that. I grew up right in the middle of so-called Pentecostalism. My neighbors, my relatives, they were all in the middle of it. So we reacted in such a way, being at the center of the will of God and knowing and acknowledging the work of the Holy Spirit in our life, being afraid of this extremism here, what we did is we went back to the other extreme here, completely ignoring the Spirit of God. I have to say this. I'm very sure it is true in many of us. How many times you think on a daily basis of the work of the Holy Spirit in your life? He is here to stay in your life. He is with you. The triune God, the third person of the triune God, if you are a child of God, walking around in this world, in your school, in your colleges, in your work, wherever you are at home, remember the fact the third person of the Trinity, the triune God, is indwelling right inside you if you are a child of God. He's watching and listening everything that happens in your life. And many a times we slowly ignore that sweet voice. It is an awesome thought. I think it is time for us to revive from that thought and come back to the center. I'm not saying we should go to this extreme. We should be careful. I have seen a lot of, my time is going very fast. I've seen a lot of discussions on Facebook and WhatsApp and a lot of arguments going on still about this side here. The people who are on this side of the spectrum, the people, assembly folks are arguing about this, wasting time, while we are just seated on the other end and not obeying the Spirit of God. That is just a word of exhortation that was very powerfully kept me this coming last weekend. Now the Spirit of God abides and is here to stay forever, and if you are a child of God, nobody should ever tell you you don't have the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you are not a child of God, period. That's what the Lord said also. So let's put that question behind us. I'm sure majority of us, you will agree with me, and I'm not telling you anything new. But there is a world out there who teach us otherwise. What are the main ministries of the Holy Spirit? It is threefold, as we can see by the words of the Lord himself. One is towards Christ, about Christ himself, which I used the word here, Christ word. I don't know if it's an English word or not. Ashley can tell me here. He will testify of me. John chapter, my computer. It sleeps. John chapter 15, verse 26. But when the helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. We among the assemblies, generally speaking, everybody extremely speaks about this subject. We should. He speaks about the Christ. And we forget the other side. We'll come to that as we go on. This is one work the Spirit of God does in the church. And he will glorify me. John chapter 16, verse 14. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. God the Son came to represent the Father to glorify him. God the Son came to represent the Father to glorify him. God the Holy Spirit came to represent the Son and to glorify him. It is very evident throughout the scriptures. So we are very settled on that. I know that it's not doubt or question. There are things that as we go on, especially next week, when it comes to the work of the Holy Spirit in a person's life, it's a little more important for us to consider. Now, towards the church, he does 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. What does he do to the church as a whole body of Christ? Baptized into one body. Verse 13 says, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, all have been made to drink into one Spirit. This is a truth, brothers. I'm sure many of you may be settled on this. When I was growing up, like I said, I was surrounded by the other teaching. People come and ask you a question. Have you been baptized by the Holy Spirit? Well, young man, I didn't know much about it. I sometimes, you know, doubt it. I would say, I don't know. Maybe I would say yes. We are, if you are a child of God again, just like that he is indwelling in you, you are being baptized into the body of Christ. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is not an individual experience. You will not be baptized when you are saved. Well, in the sense, I'll explain that. It is not an experience that on an individual basis every Christian will go through. But it's a universal body of Christ which is being baptized. And then when I was saved, I am being added to the body, part of that body. And thereby, I am baptized into the Holy Spirit. If someone asks me now, I will say yes. In those days, I didn't know the answer. Yes, we are being baptized into the one body by the Holy Spirit. And it is not an individual experience, and it is never to be experienced, repeated ever again. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18 to 22, we read, at least, we have access to the Father and are built as a holy temple. We have the access to the Father, and we are built as a holy temple, for through him we both have the access by one Spirit to the Father. Paul makes it absolutely clear that we are being made part of the body of Christ by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, move on to within a local body, within a local church, within each individual believer, we will look at this individual part. What does the Holy Spirit does in my personal life? That will be my study next week. Now, as a church, as a church today, what does he do? Spirit guides into all truth. Our brother very, very seriously expounded the word, how the Spirit of God opens the scriptures to us. John 16 and verse 13, we looked at it, but let me look at it again. However, when the Spirit of the truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. There are two things there. One is that the Spirit of God is the one who opens the scriptures to us. It is not the William MacDonald commentary. I have one copy. I refer to it very often. There are many commentaries that are available, books written by many people of God. I even referred way back, many years ago, to the book written by Brother Y. Ezekiel on the subject of Holy Spirit. Apparently, I lost the book. I couldn't find it. But anyway, there are books available. But that is not the interpretation that you and I depend upon. We can use the help, but it is the Holy Spirit that opens the scriptures. It is the Holy Spirit that speaks to us. It is the Holy Spirit that guides you into all truth. This is one of the problems with many, many people. Well, to do that, you have to open the scriptures to read it. You have to have a very quiet time. Sit quietly in the presence of God. Read upon it. Meditate upon it. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you through the word. And I guarantee this is the promise of God, and the Lord himself spoke this. There is a hint that is given in the last statement in that verse, and he will tell you of things to come. Well, at that time, the book of Revelation was not written. A lot of prophetical future was not completed. It is a reference that the book of Revelation is going to be completed when the Spirit of God comes. And it was done by the Holy Spirit through his servant, Apostle John. And he reveals mystery of Christ. There are mysteries of Christ. This again, there was some reference made by Scott this weekend. Which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it was now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. The mysteries of Christ is being revealed to the apostles and the prophets, and it is given in our hands, documented to us. Brothers, you and I walk around with this. I don't know how often you carry this. We walk around with this, not realizing it, or not perhaps appreciating the way that we should appreciate. This is the mystery of Christ revealed to us through the apostles and prophets. And we walk around and sometimes take it so lightly. I have to admit myself, I do that too. I'm not blaming any one of you here. The mysteries of Christ is revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. And the last statement in that page is Spirit builds a church in Ephesians 2:22, in whom we also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Well, that is the majority of, I am going very fast here, giving you just highlights. How about what does he do to the world today? The work that he is doing to the church is what we just briefly looked at. Including his indwelling presence and the work that he does within the church. Now he has a work today towards the world. And also the Lord made that very clear in John chapter 16, verse 7 to 11. Verse 7 to 11, let me read, it's up here. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. If I do not go away, the Helper will not come, the Holy Spirit, to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world, three things, of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. And the reason is given in verse 9, of sin, because they do not believe in me. Verse 10, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. And verse 11, of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. This is what the Spirit of God does to the world today. When you and I give a gospel tract to somebody, when you or I sometimes stay in the room or your home or wherever you are and praying for the salvation of someone, or somebody is listening to a gospel message, somebody is reading the Bible in a hotel room by the Gideons, somebody is getting the message somewhere. Who does the work? It is the Holy Spirit. It is not you. It is not me. It is not the book. It is not the tract. It is the Holy Spirit that convicts. That is something that I am sure most of us are aware of. But never forget that fact. Towards the world, he has a work today. And he does that for the last 2,000 years faithfully around the globe. Without any color, creed, rich or poor, anywhere in the world, he continues to save people. And some of us who travel in other parts of the world, you know, the Spirit of God really is in work. Hundreds and hundreds of people getting saved. Of sin, now we're going to continue for a little more on a detail, sin of unbelief and hence their rejection and finally crucify him. This is 2,000 years ago. Of righteousness, of righteousness, man acted unrighteous in nailing the Savior to the cross. God acted righteously in exalting him to his presence. Hence, righteousness is inseparably linked with the resurrection of Christ or risen Christ. Enmity of man is replaced by love, and a believer becomes the righteousness of God. As we read in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Of judgment. Notice that it doesn't read judgment to come. Pay attention to this. It doesn't say the judgment to come. This Holy Spirit is convicting men of judgment today. It is the present condemnation they are under. The judgment of God to come. The judgment is coming. That's another subject by itself. The world's prince has been judged at the cross. The world doesn't know that. The world, the enemy doesn't want the world to know that he has been judged. When Jesus rose again, Satan was completely doomed and judged forever. And this is a fact that the devil doesn't want anybody to know, that he has been judged and doomed for eternity. But the Spirit of God convicts and conveys this message to the world. Of course, it's through the scriptures, through the Bible. We come where we were. He regenerates. There's five of chapter John 3. Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now carefully read that verse. I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, very carefully look at that verse. It says water and the Spirit. It simply, at the outlook of that verse, it looks like that you have to be baptized. Something to do with water. There are people who believe the baptismal regeneration, they use this verse as one of their basics. Using a look at this, says the Lord himself said you have to have water and the Spirit to be saved. Now, here is the explanation of that. Repentant man is born again and receives the new divine, uncreated life by the Spirit of God and the Word of God. So the water is really truly representing in that verse is not a water baptism, it is the Word of God. It is through the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit that man is saved or he is receiving the life from above. So water in John 3:5 is not a reference to baptism, as many have mistakenly identified it is the Word of God. Well, last week we saw in the when we were looking at the similes and the symbols, water is given. When the water is still, we saw several examples. When the water is still, he is talking about, most of the time, it is talking about the Word of God. When the water is flowing, it is talking about the Spirit, the active work of the Holy Spirit. So we have to be careful when we read the scriptures, especially when it comes to the symbols of the Holy Spirit. In Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 25 to 26, I'm not reading the entire passage here. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. This is the work of God. He does that. Did that in the Old Testament time. He does that even today. But the work of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 to 23, as well as in Paul's writing of Ephesians 5:20-26, and in James chapter 1 and verse 18, all explain clearly that is a divine symbol of the Word of God is the reference to the water that we just looked at. Okay, it's a symbol of the Word of God. The Spirit of God is the agent, and the Word of God is the instrument he uses to cleanse us and make us his own. Now, there is some other work that he does even today on a universal, on an eternal perspective. He, in 2 Thessalonians 2:7, we read, he restrains. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. I know there are many different interpretations on this verse, and I personally am convinced. I am sure majority of assembly folks in around the world are convinced that this is the Holy Spirit that the Lord is talking about. This the mystery of lawlessness. Will not appear until the Spirit of God is removed from this earth. He who restrains. What is he restraining? There can be no releasing of the flood tide of lawlessness that will consummate the rise of Antichrist until the rapture of the church. Well, you and I wonder, this world is full of lawlessness and sin. And you name them. Alex mentioned this already this morning. It is everywhere. But according to the Texas, the Texans say, you ain't seen nothing. It is nothing what we see here today. The real tide of lawlessness is going to rise during the period of the Antichrist. In Revelation chapter 6, verse 6 to 19, which is 14 chapters will not take place until God's present work of saving people out of all the nations is complete. So when that work is complete, when that day is done, God the Father alone knows the time, and then the Spirit of God will take his church and present into his bridegroom the Lord Jesus Christ, who is under at the right hand of God today, and things will rapidly change here on earth. The church, which is Christ's body, is not the subject of divine wrath, but of divine grace. But it will go through tribulation in this world. Well, we just heard, floods will come, rain will come, tribulations and sufferings that you and I will go through. But you and I will not go through the great tribulation. That's the difference. We go through tribulations and troubles and problems and tides of water and flood and foundation shaking. But the great tribulation, you and I will not go through. So people get confused. We are going through all kinds of tribulations. Yes, I agree. But the purpose is different. Church, which is the my time is up. Christ's body is not the subject of divine wrath, but of divine grace. Let's go to the next sentence. The presence of the Holy Spirit in the church hinders the full development of apostasy and of Satan's program for the world. The Spirit of God is hindering or restraining the extent of problems here on this earth. So he's a restrainer today. That's another work he's doing, the Spirit of God. I think I have one more. We'll quickly go through that. The Holy Spirit during the Great Tribulation, very briefly, 144,000 Jews and an innumerable number of Gentiles will be saved, according to Revelation chapter 7. For this purpose, the Holy Spirit will work again here on this earth. But the difference that I want you to see is the work of the Holy Spirit in this age which you and I live, which is called the age of grace age or the church age. It is very different from other ages. The work of the Spirit. It is always the work of the Holy Spirit in every age. But the work of the Holy Spirit today, the church age, is very different. Well, quickly on the millennium, Israel's national redemption takes place as given in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10 to 13. Paul says that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of Gentile, so all Israel shall be saved. Romans 11 and 25 and 26. Israel's salvation is coming. But when that happens, who is at work? It is the Holy Spirit. A complete fulfillment by Joel 2:28. Here is another passage that people are so confused, especially the people who are on this end of the spectrum that we talked about. They say the Joel's prophecy is taken that the Spirit of God will pour out in the life of your children, your is yet to come. In partial, yes, perhaps true, in Acts chapter 2. But the full completion of the fulfillment of Joel chapter 2, 28 to 32 will take place at that time in the millennium. Well, next subject is our indwelling of the Holy Spirit in person, in individual believers. I think we'll go to that, Lord willing, next week. My time is up. All right, let's close in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this very short period, moment of time that we can refer back to the scriptures again and be grounded and rooted in the word of God, never to be shaken, knowing the understanding and knowing the truth. And we are so humbled, I myself included. Oh, the triune God, the third person, the Holy Spirit, chooses to dwell in my heart until I am taken from this world and presented to the Father. We are so thankful that we are not left alone. We have the power and the very presence and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We pray, O Father, even this study may not be just an intellectual knowledge, but to help us to know that the Spirit of God is indwelling in our hearts to study, to teach, to learn, to understand, to meditate, to worship. In all this, that you are at work. Open my eyes and every one of us in this room to see the work of the Spirit of God in our lives in this coming week and in the days ahead of us. We give thee thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.